Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington. We've got some amazing things happening up here. We've had just incredible flyovers, and people from all over the world have been coming to see this event. We've had some pretty incredible photographs taken, and thanks to Allie and Chuck, we're not only getting some awesome photographs, they got some really nice camera equipment to start documenting the daytime sightings that we're seeing. But we also have the new facility back in operation. We had some pretty heavy-duty snows this year. We had 10 feet on the level up here on the mountain, and we lost our communication to the studio. We also lost our sweat lodge, and we lost the dock on one of our ponds. So we just finally got everything back up and running, and now we're broadcasting live from deep within the earth in an undisclosed location somewhere near the base of Mount Adams, Trout Lake, Washington. But thank God the studio's back up, and I like my new digs here and having fun putting this all back together again, and we're going to have some great shows coming up in the future. And one of the things I wanted to bring to people's attention, if they go, you know, to the BBS radio, just to the index page, and scroll down to the Saturday show and click on As You Wish Talk Radio, which you've probably already done, if you scroll down when it opens up, go ahead and scroll on down, and you'll see some wonderful pictures there that our wonderful host here, Don, put up for us today of one of the crystal skulls. And there's kind of a joke. We said Indiana James with a question mark. But we actually had one of the crystal skulls here for quite some time, and it was one that was found in Bimini. And we worked a lot with this skull. And the woman who had this skull, it's all written down there what happened, but there's more to the story. But she was having a lot of trouble with it, and she was about ready to take a sledgehammer to it. She couldn't handle the energy coming off the skull. And I guess her group decided that I was supposed to be the keeper of the skull or whatever. So they brought the skull out here to the ranch, and I meditated on it, and I was told to bury the skull as soon as it gets on the ranch, to go ahead and bury it, and for 3 days. So I did, and those 3 days we had a swarm of earthquakes all around the area, just a whole flurry of earthquakes. And the skull is an amethyst crystal skull, and what was interesting is I felt like the whole ground here was being programmed by this skull, because there's a lot of amethyst underneath the ranch here. There's, you know, young amethyst forming even up on the surface. You can break rocks apart and find a lot of amethyst starting to form. That was one of the interesting things that happened when we buried it. And the next step, I was told, is to put it underneath water for 3 days. So I found a beautiful little, small little waterfall on the property, and I put the skull underneath the waterfall. And we had torrential rain for 3 days straight. I've never seen it rain like that before. It was amazing. But, after that experience, I was told to put it up in the air. And so we put it up next to the pyramid up high on a deck and left it way up there for 3 days. And we had the weirdest wind patterns you've ever seen. And we had these little mini whirlwinds inside the building. It was actually inside the house, which made no sense whatsoever. I don't know how you get a whirlwind inside the house, but papers were flying and just all kinds of things. It was a pretty bizarre event. The last experience was fire, so they wanted me to run it through the elements of earth, water, air, and fire. So we built a really nice bonfire, and a lot of people came up to the event, and we just meditated around the bonfire and did some prayers for the earth and the people, and welcomed any awakening and healing energies that might, you know, come our way. And during the ceremony, we had the skull sitting there facing the fire, looking straight into the fire, not too close because we didn't want to get it hot or crack it. But the most interesting thing happened right above us. It was totally clear skies. This cloud formed out of nowhere. And in the cloud, was the most amazing light show you've ever seen. We saw brilliant colors just flashing, almost like it had its own little mini lightning storm inside the clouds, right above our heads. And it went on for almost 20 minutes. And I had some people there from the Columbia. They were reporters, and a world-renowned photographer was there. And all of them were just so amazed at this experience that they didn't even think about getting their cameras or to take pictures. And so finally, towards the end of this experience, they said, "Oh my God, we need to film this," you know. So they ran to their car and they opened up the trunk, grabbed their cameras, their video cameras, and their, you know, other cameras. And as soon as they lifted their cameras up to take a picture, everything stopped. It just stopped immediately. And that was basically the end of the ceremony. And I received a real clear message that was just for the people there at the event. You know, so it kind of goes the same for a lot of UFO activity. The people here that are here at the time help generate the event, and they have their, you know, their experiences, which goes back to why I always tell people I'm not really interested in proving that they're here or that there is contact going on, but I'm welcoming anybody who wants to come and have their own experience and experience their own contact and see the ships and enjoy it that way. Because, you know, when you're trying to prove something to somebody, you're trying to force your beliefs on them or force your will on somebody else, which is really incorrect. It's just not the way the universe works or the higher beings work. But if we invite this experience and desire this experience, we can create the experience through intention. We've had quite a few people come up here and just have some outrageous experiences. I just finished a radio show in Australia with a wonderful group of people, and it was they just launched this program that was, I don't even know what it was, being kind of computer illiterate, but it was a program where you could chat, and it was like a kind of like a shortwave radio or something. You'd have to push down on your arrow key so you could speak, and then you could type in chat at the same time and answer questions. And so I spent about an hour and 15 minutes, you know, answering questions and just, you know, some great questions, too. The people that were really on the ball and asked the right questions, which is actually leading us into this show. I wanted to open up the open lines, you know, for people who want to ask questions or who want to share some of their own experiences. You know, if you've had a UFO experience or you've had contact or you're trying to understand contact or something that's happening to you, you need a little validation there. If you've had visions of the future or if you know something about the crystal skulls, anything, any of this, if you want to, you know, bring out this knowledge or share some knowledge or gain some knowledge, feel free to call us. The numbers are there on the website. I'll give them to you right now if you want. It's the first number we have is 877-876-5227. Again, that number is 877-876-5227. And we also have a Canadian line that you can call, or anywhere in the U.S. It's 888-815-9756. Again, that's 888-815-9756. And we also have the direct line, which is 530-876-3222. So give us a call, and looking forward to hearing from anybody who wants to call in and share some wisdom or ask some questions. Meanwhile, I'll just continue with some of the events that are happening. As you know, we've had some massive earthquakes in China. Looks like Japan is rocking and rolling again. A lot of activity there. It's the New Madrid fault is going to start acting up here again, looks like. And, you know, we're having earthquakes everywhere in the world that in places we've never before seen quakes. And that's been part of the prophecies. We've talked about this for quite some time. And there's also other things seem to be involved in this. You know, we have some crazy technologies that we had back in the days of Atlantis when we did ourselves in. And we have the same psychopaths behind these technologies. So We've got some people that all they care about is power and wealth at any expense. They operate on pure greed. They have no care whatsoever whether you live or die, or whether your children live or die, or whether whole civilizations come and go. And they're so wrapped up in power, they just don't get it. These beings consider themselves to be very clever and very powerful beings, but they have no wisdom whatsoever because they haven't even figured out karma or action-reaction. So it's not very wise. I mean, even children know that, you know, you're going to have a reaction to some of the actions, especially if you work in a way that's harmful to humanity and the earth. So basically, as this drama plays out, is we as eternal souls play this drama out, and it's going to get very interesting between now and 2012. The things that I've been seeing is that there is it's almost like a war between those who are totally unconscious and lust for power and wealth at any expense, and nature. And when you war on nature, you're going to lose. That's just the way it is. And when you war on the higher consciousness and energy, or the destiny of Earth, which is to heal itself and join the rest of the universe in peace, you're going to lose, because there's a force far greater than anything we can imagine. Whatever name you want to give it, it is a universal intelligence, and there is a divine plan unfolding, and those who try to interfere in this plan are going to reap some very, you know, heavy karma. You know, better refer to it more as truckma, you know, because they've got a load of truckma. But nonetheless, hopefully we'll get some people that will regain their integrity within the systems and help us out in this arena. We have a caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi, James.
How you doing? Can you state your first name and where you're from?
This is Mark from Nashport, Ohio.
Welcome, Mark.
Thanks a bunch. Hey, have you ever listened to Lieutenant Colonel Wendell Stevens at all?
Actually, we had Wendell Stevens here at the ranch.
Did you really?
Yes, and he got to see a lot of the UFOs here, and he didn't get to see the big metal ones that come down and with fine detail, but the whole group that was here saw some amazing light ships come in and quite a display, and they got some photographs of some metallic-looking ships out in the field.
You know, that guy is like a national treasure, isn't he?
You know, he's what's interesting is he's so knowledgeable, but he's also just such a sweet man. I mean, he's so nice to be around, and such a great disposition, him and his wife both. And we just really loved having him here. He was just a real treasure to be around.
He seems to have more knowledge about the UFO phenomena than almost any person I've ever heard of.
He definitely does, especially concerning... he knows a lot about the cases. He studied a lot of the, I think, the Hernandez case, and he was very involved in the Billy Meyer case. And then I know the Billy Meyer people told him not to check into any other cases. They got pretty upset when he started, you know, going into some of the Hernandez cases and some of the other ones that had Andromedan contacts. But, you know, he still went forward and investigated some of these other cases as well, which I thought was great. I actually asked him about that. I asked him, you know, why are they claiming to be the only contactees and the only true prophet of God on the planet and all these other claims and you know, coming after everybody else? And he said, you know, pretty much he experienced the same thing. It doesn't make sense, and they're totally contradicting themselves when they do this, because it's written in their own contact notes and in their videos that over 7,000 people are being contacted by the Pleiadian or Plejaran.
You know, I remember him talking about a group called the Aldebarans.
Yes,
I believe those were the people that brought the anti-gravity technology to the Nazis, or actually to the Germans, before World War II, and then it was the Nazis that took that technology, and I think they mounted an anti-tank gun on a... one of the 100-foot discs, and then the Aldebarans stepped in and then kind of took the technology away from them. But I think near the end of the war, they figured out how to do it again, and they developed the Nazi Bell or whatever that Dr. Joseph Farrell's written a book about or whatever.
Well, you know, the Germany's on the forefront of all of this, and they've had this technology. You know, they actually had the nuclear bomb around that same time, and this is pretty sad concerning our government, but they actually elected not to use it.
Really?
They said it was just too devastating and such a nasty weapon that they decided not to use it. So you think about that, you know, if they decided not to use it, and then what do? We steal the technology, develop it, you know, back engineer it or whatever, develop it, and then first thing we get a chance to, we, you know, start blowing the smithereens out of other people with it.
You know, the depleted uranium weapons are pretty horrific too, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, that's going to go around, you know, goes around, comes around. That's actually, they're finding a lot of the depleted uranium in the United Kingdom and from sandstorms and things like that. And I think a lot of that's going to be blowing around the planet, and it's going to create all kinds of adverse conditions everywhere, not just there. You know, again, it goes back to that genocidal consciousness of these psychopaths that are doing things, and you know, and the people that are following them that can't muster up their own courage and integrity and say, you know, enough's enough. You guys are just totally out of control here, and you know, this just isn't right.
You know, there's another military guy that I think is really interesting, Lieutenant Colonel Donald Ware.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard him talk at all? Or?
You know, I have, and we've had some problems with Colonel Ware only because he completely misquotes me constantly and gets
really?
All the information wrong.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, I went and spoke at the International UFO Congress, which he's a board member there, and I haven't spoken since, but I challenged him on some things and with some of the connections he has, because he is, you know, hooking up with, you know, a lot of the people that we would consider New World Order, you know, the big money boys. But, you know, there's, if you, you know, he even talks about how they have this great master plan for all of us to join, and it's a little crazy, but,
well,
you know, when
go
ahead.
Well, I had heard him talk about that in our underground and undersea bases, that they're actually growing hybrids now.
Yeah, they're doing worse things than that. I mean, that's the least case scenario in the dark little programs they're doing in those underground bases. I mean, they're doing experimentation that is just so sick it's beyond beyond belief.
Well, can you give me some examples or?
I really don't want to go there, but there's
really?
A guy he was on the. I'm trying to remember what his name was. I think it was Jason something or whatever, that he broke out of there and spilled the beans on it, and he's on the website. I can't remember the guy's name. Hopefully it'll come to me. But we sent that out. But he talked about all of it. He said there was experimentation. They would kill people in front of these children. They would alter their consciousness and put all kinds of chips in them and actually put DNA into these children, like of a tiger and things like that, to give them superhuman strength. And, you know, they're creating all these Manchurian candidates. It's just some real crazy stuff down there that's just despicable when it comes to how they're, you know, treating humankind and animal kind as well.
Sorry to interrupt you. Did you happen to catch any of Ed Dames on Coast to Coast a couple weeks ago?
I caught a little bit on Ed Dames. You know, one of the problems with Ed Dames is that he's still under contract with the government, and he admits this, and he won't really tell us what's really going on. And I heard him one day say, when the earth changes come, run to the coast. That's the safest place to be, which is pure insanity. That's the place you want to get away from when the changes start, because when the earth starts rocking and rolling, the oceans are going to be moving, and you definitely don't want to be on the coast. So, I mean, I've heard some things though that just don't make sense to me whatsoever, and I kind of lose faith in people that say, I'm under government contract, so I can't talk about chemtrails or this or that, or I can't really tell the people what's going on because I serve a different group, you know, that doesn't seem to have anything to do with you know, the rest of humanity.
Now, do you personally do remote viewing?
I can go do remote viewing, or I can go out of body. I've done that quite a bit. I don't make that my focus. I mainly work with the beings, you know, on the ships and go back and forth between the ships in out-of-body experiences and just work with them more on a telepathic level. But, you know, anybody can do remote viewing if you just put the time into it. But I don't like playing around on the more earthly psychic levels. I like to move up into the higher levels and spend more time there.
Do you think there's a danger in that, in remote viewing?
Well, you know, it does. It's hard on your body, actually. It's not as, especially when you do out-of-body, if you're doing astral travel and things like that, and it's kind of hard on you. You start aging, and it's wear and tear on the body. But if you can take it up one more level and start traveling in your etheric body and working with the higher beings, it actually rejuvenates you, and it's a much better way to go. I've spoken with a lot of the different remote viewers, David Morehouse and some of the other ones, and they just love the work that I'm doing, and they want to be able to reach those higher levels and deal with these golden beings and some of these other ones, and they've seen them just briefly, and they know they exist, and they know, you know, these fifth and sixth and seventh dimensional beings are there, but they haven't been able to engage them or have any contact with them. As far as I know, maybe that's changed, you know, but the last time I talked to them, it hadn't.
Do you teach people at all how to leave their body and things like that, or?
Definitely, yeah. If people want to learn how to do that, a lot of it starts just happening naturally. The more you meditate and the more you start going within, you know, the whole universe starts opening up, because we're really spiritual beings that have a body. We're not just a body and a personality. And the more you engage spirit, you start journeying out into these other planes and dimensions. And they're really just aspects of yourself, because we're multidimensional beings.
Well, I appreciate talking to you, James. I'm going to hang up and let someone else call in. Thanks.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right. Hopefully you can get some more calls in before the end of the hour. Again, let me give those call numbers out. It's 877-876-5227 and 888-815-9756, or the direct line is 530-876-3222. So give us a call if you have a question or something to share, or whatever's on your mind. Feel free to give us a call. Don't be shy. We're very easygoing here. You can't make a mistake here because we don't do judging.
Hello.
Greetings.
Oh, hi. Is this Mr. Gillian?
I'm sorry, I could barely hear you.
Is this James Gillian?
Yes, it is. You're on Anchorage Talk Radio.
Okay. Yeah, this is Kay Lobo. I'm out in Missouri. And I think I had contacted you probably after October of last year, because while I was in New York, I had to go to New York. I was with my sister for about 3 months in New York. Her and I had a real close encounter with a craft, like a spaceship or a UFO, just outside of Ellenville in Napanock, New York. And I just want to let people know. I wasn't sure whether it's military or what the deal was at the time. But after that, I came back and I started doing a lot of research and so forth. And I was just listening to your program. You talked to a gentleman. And he was asking about the underground, experimentation, everything that's going on. I had some names of, where if he wanted to start doing some research, he could look in there.
What was the
One of them was Dan Burish, B-U-R-I-S-H.
Dan Burish is one.
Right.
Now there's another guy. He's a kind of a whistleblower.
Dr. Deagle. Deagle, D-E-A-G-L-E.
Yes, that's another one. Dr. Deagle
talked
about
him. Yeah, and one of the people at Project Camelot.
Yes, uh-huh.
If they look in there, they could...
They're the ones that interviewed this guy, and I can't think of his name. I think it was either James or Jason or something.
Okay. I know what he looks like. Oh, yeah, I was just watching him. Oh, gosh, I forgot his name. I started doing a lot of research since that happened, because I'd never really been into UFOs or anything like that. But and the question I have, been introduced to, or have you met Palladians, the Palladian people?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. It could be possible that some of us, I understand that the Palladian people, they look very much like us, and that they, you wouldn't be able to recognize that they were here, to tell the difference between us and them, some of them. Is that true?
Yes, definitely. I had one actually appear to me, and it was a time where I was very down, and I just broke up with somebody, and it was one of those, you know, so-called soulmate connections, you know, that just devastate you. It was such a powerful connection.
Yeah.
And I know better, because I know that we need to make our own personal God connection and not be in need of any approval, acceptance, or love or outside of ourselves. But this connection was so powerful. And she just was not on the same page and was struggling with it. And even though she saw things and heard things and all these incredible experiences, it, she just couldn't handle it. It was too much for her. And so she took off, and I mean, I was really down, and I was on overwhelmed because I had so many people I was working with and helping at the time, and this one woman that I was very connected to, a Palladian, actually appeared in the physical,
and
she walked up to me, and she gave me the biggest hug and a big kiss, and then she turned around, and I put my arm around her, and she kind of just unfolded right out of my arm. She kind of grabbed my hand and just folded right out and started walking away, and she just vanished. She just disappeared. It turned me upside down. I mean, everything was gone. Any sadness, any grief, anything was just instantly gone. I felt so lifted and so high after that experience. And I had some friends with me at the time, you know, one of the guys was there. He's from Germany, and his wife, and they're very, you know, this guy's a physicist with multiple PhDs, and he saw the whole thing happen, and he couldn't believe it. And he said, she wasn't from here. He said, I don't know who that was, but she wasn't from here.
Yeah.
And
my question is,
no, she wasn't.
They're saying that some of the, you know, the people from other places, whether aliens or whatever, that they're, you know, breeding with humans. It could be possible that some of us here are half human and half Palladian, we don't know it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. I've seen that a lot of us are, and our souls are actually from these other systems, and we've incarnated here on the earth, you know, and we have this physical body and this little personality self we're dealing with, but that we picked up while we're here. But in truth, in our soul, when we really get deep into our soul, we're always looking up at the stars, and we're saying, get me out of here, you know.
Yeah, you start to feel, because I'm starting to wonder about myself, because not only did I have this now recent experience where I grew up in upstate New York, Pine Bush, New York has been known for like the last 20, 30 years as, you know, the capital of, you know, like right out in Washington where you are, you're having a lot of activity out there and around that area has been for years. And when I was a child growing up there, I remember my dad and I looking out the kitchen window and seeing these, you know, crafts or UFOs or whatever, way off in the distance, because we'd be about a half an hour, 45 minutes from Pine Bush, but we're up on high in the mountain, you could see them. But then you didn't talk, you didn't say anything to anybody, you think you're absolutely really crazy. But, so we watched them there. So I lived in that area where there's a lot of activity. And then, it was 1996, I had this most incredible experience. It was the day actually my dad passed away, but, I wasn't really going to church or anything at that time, or, you know, into anything spiritual or anything. And I had what I call a white light experience right in the kitchen in my apartment in Jacksonville, Florida. The room, just the kitchen, was filled with this bright, beautiful white light and all this, like, sparkly stuff. You couldn't see through it. I couldn't see where I was standing. I could walk, but I was like, really sort of scared or whatever. I couldn't, this is just too bizarre. And I just knew what direction the door was to get out of the kitchen. All that I kept thinking was, if I get out of here, this will stop. But I thought it... Now I'm sort of confused. You know, I thought it was the Lord or God or, you know, Jesus, which it still can be, because I think this has all got to be related somehow. But he spoke to me. A voice spoke to me and let me know my father was passing away that day. And the nice thing about it was that I was able to, after it was over, I was able to call New York from Florida, and they had rushed my father to the hospital, and I just got to speak to him for a few minutes before he did pass away. But since that time, I have been, you know, so I've had a lot of contact, and that's how I got out here to Missouri, is that I was told to come out here and you know, for reasons, for things that are going to be happening. Another thing, that man that was telling you that, I was telling you that the earthquakes and all the activity, if you do research on HARP, H-A-A-R-P,
yeah,
that you can go through that, and that's being printed about how, you know, the governments or whoever is doing it, they're crazy, causing these earthquakes and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, they're definitely playing around. They're playing around with a lot of different toys they shouldn't
be. Oh, it's awful. I mean, you know, we're gone. So,
What was the you had the one experience where you saw one of the ships pretty close up?
Oh yeah.
What kind of ship was it? Do you remember what it looked like?
It was like metallic looking. You know, like, it was like a physical ship. It wasn't like a lot of people seeing like orbs and things like that. No, this is a definite like vehicle looking thing. You know, a ship. But it you know how usually it had the you know, like on the perimeter there were lights. You know, like blue and red blinking lights, and then on the top. It was more sort of like, it wasn't like real just oval, like, you know, when you kids see a spaceship or the, on the top, it was more like a symbol, like up, it went up further kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to preface this with, before I went from Missouri to New York to be with my sister for about 3 months, it was a beautiful sky out here, and I looked out in the sky just shortly before I went to leave, because I really didn't want to go back to New York, didn't want to go to New York at all, and I looked out and I thought, oh, how beautiful it is, and I wasn't sure if I was coming back here or not, and I looked at my, I thought, well, that's odd. It looks like a North Star, like this really ultra-bright, sort of bigger like star. And about 6 inches down from it was this, the first time I saw it, it was like, it looked like a star, but it was this pulsating blue and red light, like pulsating from it. And I thought, well, that's really odd. Well, then when I went up to New York, and my sister, she acted very, because I think something happened with her, as we go past where the radio tower is, you have to go about 2 miles up of the mountain where my parents' house was, and sort of where the little town is, and sort of a remote road, and it's got farms and stuff up there. And by this radio tower, there would be these lights, the same thing that I saw in here in Missouri before I went there. They sort of hover low, and it's like blue and red, or blue and green pulsating. It looks like a star, but you see this, if you really look at it, it's pulsating kind of light coming from it. And you know, she's driving, it's a real curvy road, so she's looking over, you know, at the window, and she's looking at that, and she said, see them? She said, they're not stars. I, like, really, like, scared. She looked at me like a scared deer or something, you know, like something weird. I said, okay. Well, it was like 2 days later is when we came up, and all of a sudden, we came up to where the house was, and there's two driveways, there's a lower driveway and an upper driveway, and on the right, and two big, like, 100-foot trees, it's a road that, it's a paved road that just one car can go down, one can go up. And all of a sudden she slams on the brakes on the car, and she swore. She doesn't even swear. She said, what the heck are those lights up there in the tree? And I look up, and there was. It was almost like you could see behind the tree. There was a lot of leaves on the tree at the time. And it was about one-third down from the tree, so it was only about 40 feet up in there. And you see the lights. And then we stopped the vehicle. And that when we stopped the vehicle, she started saying, we better, you know, she wanted to turn the car around and go back down. And as she was talking, we were looking at it, it was only a few seconds, it moved itself over and it lowered itself in the middle of the road. And there was a blue beam underneath her, you know, as wide as the road. The thing was wider than the road, the edges went off the road. But it was as wide as the road, and there was this blue beam under it. And all I knew was, don't get under the blue beam, because, like, you know, movies and stuff like that. I don't know where I knew that, but don't get under the blue beam. So I said, no, I thought if we try to go back down the road, it's going to come out over us, and that blue beam's going to, and that's, you know, maybe get abducted or something. So I said, no, that we have to get into the house as soon as we can. She said, okay, and we had to actually go toward it. And as we were going toward it, to left the upper driveway, it was actually coming toward us. And then she hurried up and she swerved to the right and went in the driveway and turned the car around. And to face the road again, and she stopped, and then she said, you know, she said, 1, 2, 3, and she opened the door, and she went running for the porch. And I had to get out and go out of the passenger side and go around the vehicle to get to the porch. And when I did, all of a sudden, I heard her voice, and she was saying, because I looked up just straight, I wasn't looking up in the sky, I looked up straight, and she was saying, and Kay, it's not a helicopter, it makes no noise. And with that, I looked straight up, because, you know, I guess we're thinking it was over us, and we're bending down, she's so scared, and when she said that, I looked up just straight, eye level, and the thing was between our house and the garage, which is about 100-foot space, and it took up, I'd say, at least one-third of that space, and it was hovering with it. There used to be a pool there, and there's grass and lawn there now, and it was hovering just a few feet off the grass. And but I could hear, though, I could hear it was just almost like a little tiny whisper of a hum, like a little electric generator sound, like very, very, very faint, almost, you know, for a big thing like this. But it didn't have a blue beam under it, more it was just like a haze around it, because it was like, it was around 10 o'clock at night. It was dark out when this happened. And then I just remember just sort of feeling frozen there, and then it slowly lifted up and went over a little bit down further and just hovered over one of the trees. And then all of a sudden it took off a little faster, but down toward where the road is again. But then all of a sudden I don't remember moving from that spot where I was like frozen. All of a sudden I'm right behind my sister at the door. She's in front of me. She's trying to unlock the two locks on the door to get the door open. All I remember is seeing the locks look huge, and, you know, because I guess I was so scared. Everything looks huge. And I remember just seeing her hand go in very slowly and turn. The first one very slowly turned the other one. And all I was thinking, if that was me, my hands would be shaking so hard that I would not be able to get this door open. But we were really scared. I mean, she was crying, screaming. We were screaming. It was. But since then, she's had other experiences up there. One other one, about a month after I got back here, and she was on the phone with me on the cell phone. And she said one was going with her parallel up the road, and then it crossed over her car, and she had a moon was on it. And the light from it, like a white, real brilliant white light came in through there, and she shot the moon with a flash, and then she then went back out into the woods, and it was like shining a beam of white light down into the woods. But,
yeah, did you have any just major contacts or feelings like that or information that you want to share with anybody, or was it just the sighting and just kind of the energy around it?
Oh, you mean when that happened? That was on July 11th. When that happened, did I feel like we had any contact with them?
Yeah. Have you had any
No, we were just scared. We were just terrified. I'm so scared. We were just so scared when it happened. We felt like we were going to die. I don't know. You didn't feel, anything good. Maybe just, being so scared, seeing that, this shouldn't be happening. But no, we didn't have any funny contact there or anything. We were in the house. And afterwards, when we went into the house, she immediately called her daughter and to tell her, because she thought that if anything should happen to us, because we didn't know what was going to happen next. We didn't know if it was going to land, come back and be, be at the house or something. We were there by ourselves. So we didn't know what was going to happen. So she called her daughter, and then I think a car that was coming up the road at that time, it was swerving and driving so fast and going erratically on the road. I think that it probably saw it as it went down, down toward the road down there too, that they had seen. But we don't know who those people were. We're going to try to see if we can find them to see, they could verify what we said. I mean, nobody believes you. When this happens, nobody believes you. It's like, for years, since 1996, when my dad passed away, when I had that, I call the white light experience in my house, and the voice speaks to me and lets me know that my father's passing away. And another good thing is part of that experience was my brother. He was killed in Vietnam in 1969. Mm-hmm. At one point, he actually put his hands around me. They also saw the hands and this beautiful robe, like pearlescent, kind of translucent kind of material. Because he came around from behind and put his hands around my waist, and I just felt like it was pure love. I mean, it's just so much that it's just too much to take. And I just said, "Oh God!" And I went down on my knees, sort of on the floor in the kitchen. And at that point, my brother, who had been killed in 1969 in Vietnam, he was next to me. He was on my right-hand side. He was kneeling next to me, and he was weeping. But it wasn't bad weeping. It was really good, because this was the last part of what was said. And he said, "And don't you know how long I have waited for this?" Meaning how long he had waited for our father here to go and be with him. So,
great.
I mean, we are not alone. And, God and, other beings or whatever there. And they're watching over us.
That's definitely a big universe out there. Well, thanks for calling in.
Okay, well, thanks so much.
Story.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
All right, take care. You know, what's hard is that these experiences that we're having, we have to kind of put them in our own belief system sometimes and pigeonhole them here and there. And sometimes it's just much grander than that. With my own father, when he died, it was quite interesting. His last words were, "Beam me up," which was, I thought, was, why would you say "beam me up" during your last words?
Yes.
When you take your last breath. And sure enough, there's a ship right over the house. Welcome to As You Wish. Can you state your name and where you're from? Hello?
Can you
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Welcome to As You Wish.
James, my name is Cisco.
Boy, we've got a really bad
game. Really bad.
see it because it's on Skype.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't even make out what you're saying. It's a real bad connection there. Okay, well, so much for that. We tried, but could not make out what she was saying. The some of the technology just isn't up to par yet, I guess. But anyway, talking about my dad, you know, when he crossed over, we took a photograph above the house. Something told me to do it, and I got this beautiful turquoise light ship. So it's all interconnected when you get into the higher dimensions, and we often go off to these other dimensions, and we came from these other higher dimensions, and it's not, we can't just say, you know, we're going to get a white robe and, you know, a harp and a cloud to hang out the rest of our eternity on. It just doesn't work that way. It sounds like a very boring program that I wouldn't want to be involved in myself. Anyway, we have another caller. Can you state your name and where you're from?
Hi, my name is Lori, and I'm from Phoenix, Arizona.
Great, Lori. Good connection. I can actually hear you this time.
You hear me?
Yes, awesome.
That's great. Yeah, I was on the Lightworkers thing earlier today when you were on.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I thought the group was awesome there. The questions they asked were incredible. I just couldn't keep up with all of it. I did the best I could.
There was a lot. Yeah, we were under Chris and Lori.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're kind of new to all this, but we're really intrigued with it all. We love it all, so, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of activity in your area up around that Sedona area, and I know with the Phoenix Lights, were you involved in that at all?
I didn't see it myself, but I worked with somebody who lived farther down south, and she actually saw it, and it was really interesting.
What do you think about the disinformation program where they're trying to say, oh, they're just flares?
Oh, I think that's just a bunch of, they're just trying to cover it up.
Yeah. Well, you know,
yeah.
From the reports, several people saw this thing, and they said you could land several 747s on the wing of one of these ships that they saw pass over them. This just massive triangle ship. And
yeah, I've heard it was really huge and silent. Not
yeah, and one lady was going about 60 miles an hour, and she said that she was underneath it for about 3 minutes, which makes
wow.
This thing miles long. I mean,
yeah.
it had to be just massive.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen all the pictures of it, and it can't be just flares.
No.
No.
You know, I watched it, too, and I saw those lights. It seemed like there was more than one incident. There was what looked like flares, and then there's other ships hovering over the airport.
Uh-huh.
And they actually, when they actually went, at the end, they went up and took off, and they went back up into the sky. When you have a flare on a parachute, they don't rise
right.
up and you know, rise up back into heaven, you know, they...
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, I just can't see how they could say that, and, you know, that was definitely not a UFO. And then Fife Simonson came forward and said, you know, these were definitely off-world craft is what he thought they were. He said there was no doubt
mm-hmm.
about it. So.
Yeah.
Did you have any other questions? We could,
I was going to ask you about Sedona. I've heard about the... we've got energy vortexes there or something.
Yeah.
And what is all about that?
Well, you know, my experience, I've gone to Sedona several times, and I love the energy there. I was raised in the desert anyway. And
uh-huh.
I thought it was funny. One of the people came into the show, the Australian show that I was doing, and she was from Apple Valley, California, which is where I was raised, up in
uh-huh.
the high desert. But, you know, there's some great energy areas there. There's some areas that aren't so great. You know, I've seen there's some government things going on there in Sedona as well. There's certain canyons you don't want to go up.
Uh-huh.
But if you get a good guide there, somebody that really knows the area, I'm sure they can take you to the vortexes and tell them you don't want to go to the weird ones. You want to go to the ones that are really
yeah.
high energy that make you feel good, and,
huh.
and you know. But when you stand in these vortexes, like our entire ranch is a vortex, and when you're in these vortexes, you have to be prepared because the energy is going to push everything up for some people, And so if you have some unprocessed emotions and fears and sadnesses and sorrows, those come up. But, you know, if you just stay with it and feel it and just turn it over and say, like, I let go, I let God, or if you ask just to release this, you know, you can have an amazing leap in evolution there and you know, have a great experience.
Yeah, my husband and I are really wanting to come up to your ranch sometime this summer. I think that would just be awesome. And you said you had something going on July 4th?
Yeah, we have the July 4th conference. It's the Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference, and we always have, like, the best of the best speakers that come up here. They just love to come here anyway, you know. So.
Yeah.
But I had a list of speakers about a mile long, and I felt bad because I had to, you know, we just don't have enough time.
Yeah.
But I may have another one in late August or September. There's a possibility because I have a bunch of speakers that want to come back, and so there's a possibility I might do one more, you know, before winter here. But, it's the July 4th conference. If you go to the website at eseti.org, all the information's there. And
yeah,
it's going to be an amazing...
Yeah, I'll definitely look that up.
Yeah. Last conference, we had Brooks Agnew got beamed. He was standing there looking at the mountain, and this beam of light hit him right in the chest.
Wow.
He's a geophysicist, and he's actually creating a journey to the inner Earth. And he's on BBS radio as well, so I'd check out his X Squared radio show. He's got a great show. You know, we had Nick Bajic up here, Neil Freer was here, both Alfred Wabray was here, and Dr. Sala with Exopolitics, and Angelica Whitecliff was here. I'm trying to think of all the, I mean, there were so many. Wendell Stevens, you know, we talked about him earlier. Was here, but we had such a great lineup. Michal Ledwith he's one of our regulars. He's a very good friend. He comes here on a regular basis. But he's the one that put the new Orbs movie out and the book, The Orbs Project, as well. So you know, those are two soon to be up on our site. Actually, we're going to be carrying those for him. You know, because he has the most amazing DVDs. If you ever want to know about the real life of Jesus, he has a DVD out that says How Jesus Became the Christ. And it's a powerful DVD, and it's nothing like the story that we've been told. You know, so it's pretty amazing because he went through all these initiations, and he studied in the Egyptian mystery schools. He went to Tibet. He studied with the yogis in India.
Oh, wow.
It's all inclusive. It shows this whole journey, and it's very, very well documented. And you know, his teachings are universal. It's not to be snatched up by any one religion and say that they are the way. You know, he was a universal teacher, just like all the masters. And they really don't believe in religion. They believe in spirituality and each person making their own God connection. But they don't really believe in the control aspect of it.
Yeah, that's great, because I was brought up to believe in, you know, one religion, and as I've gotten older, my mind's open, and I realize that all religions are just parts of the puzzle. You know, it all kind of goes together, and it's amazing how many people are still stuck in that, just one religion, that's the way it is, and it's really interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely important. I think that there are universal principles and understandings that are necessary for a healthy society and environment, and they're written within all teachings, and then there's the distortions that come in after that.
Right.
And so there's golden threads that are in all the teachings, and I studied, you know, I studied both with the Tibetan teachings, and I studied, you know, Christian teachings, and I studied a lot of different Native American teachings and the lamas and everything. So, you know, I studied all the different... you know, the techniques and everything, and I just came to the realization is that everybody has a path and a name for all these experiences, you know, a different language for it, and they all end up in the same place, you know. So, you know, we all came from one source, and we all return to the same source, and what we do between now and then is our program, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so we can make it great, or we can make it terrible. It's up to us to choose.
Yep.
You know, what we want to experience.
Yep. All right. Well, my husband Chris just wanted me to say hi because he was on there earlier today.
Great. Well, yeah, it was good hearing from you again, and feel free to call into the show again.
All right. Sounds great. You have a good night.
All right. You too.
Okay. Bye bye.
Okay. It looks like we're getting close to the end of the hour. I think we can take one more call, or if somebody wants to call in. Looks like we've got a few minutes here. I'm still working on this studio here. My power went out, so the clock is sitting here flashing at me, but I believe we've got about, you know, just a few minutes left to do the show. Basically, if you get a chance, check out the crystal skull. As I was saying before, we had some amazing experiences with this crystal skull, and I'm hoping it migrates back one of these days. I had to let it go because the woman who owned it, that actually gave it to me, she came back and got very upset, and she lost her identity as keeper of the skull. So, you know, I told her, I said, you know, I have my own liquid crystal skull right, you know, between my shoulders here, and I really didn't need the toy to make things happen, but although it was fun playing with it. But it is important that we do realize that we have everything we need within us, and we need to start going within for the love and the acceptance and the approval, and to, you know, establish our own personal connection with the source, and get in touch with our own power, you know, and stop, you know, looking outside of ourselves and giving our power weight to outer sources. It's going to be imperative in the days to come. We need to establish our own inner guidance system, and, you know, to weave our way through these changes and these challenges that are coming up in the very near future. It looks like we're pretty close to running out of time. Or maybe just have one or two minutes left. Basically, the only thing I have to say is start watching the sky, because there's a lot of activity up there, and it's amazing. We have that third generation night vision here, and we're watching things happening in the sky. They're just unbelievable. I mean, it's looking like Star Trek up there with some of these ships, and then just amazing different types of ships that we're seeing here, and it seems like the whole universe is joining us for this grand evolutionary jump, this jump in consciousness and energy that we're undergoing. So there's help out there. We're definitely on the move, and it's good to flow with this. And one of the things the Palladians always tell me is that they're here to help us release the past. So it's time to let go of those old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences. Get in touch with your own God self and go with the flow. That's all I can say. And forget about the blame and projection mode. It just doesn't work anymore. Well, we've reached the end of the hour. I can't thank everybody enough for calling in and listening in. And we've got some great shows coming up. We've got Jason coming up with Planet X. We've got a few other shows that are in the works. I don't want to say anything until I get them totally nailed down, but we're going to have some amazing shows here, and I'm listing one after the other, and then we're going to do a round robin with the people that are coming here on the conference real quick. So we're lining this all up right now, and I'm putting all my energies into this radio show and kicking it off, and it's going to take off like wildfire. So pretty soon you're going to hear that coast-to-coast music in the background. No, just kidding. We're gonna do our own thing here. But hopefully we'll move out and just be get the same numbers that they do and reach as many people as they do. So, again, if you want to hear me on Coast to Coast, feel free to send them an email, and I'm willing to go on anytime. Well, we're time to sign off. We're running out of time here. So, again, James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening, and watch the skies, and, you know, send out that love and joy and bliss to these ETs and these beautiful entities, knowing that the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect. So focus on the benevolent ones and ask for help, because we're going to need all the help we can get to get through these times. So anyway, have a great evening, watch the skies, and see you in your dreams. Good night.